Hey everyone, welcome back. We're doing a deep dive today into something I think you're all pretty familiar with, mindfulness meditation. And I think we all know the benefits, right? Less stress, better sleep, maybe even helps with depression. We see mindfulness programs everywhere these days, right?
Absolutely.
But you know something?
What's that?
We don't often talk about the possible downsides.
Yeah, that's true. The downsides don't get much attention, do they?
Not really. So that's what we're looking at today, right?
Yeah, we're diving into a really interesting study from Brown University,
Okay.
and it kind of flips the script on this whole mindfulness thing.
Okay, I am curious now. Tell me more. What did they find?
So get this. Less than 1%
Less than 1%.
of like nearly 7,000 studies
Seriously.
on meditation even bothered to look at side effects.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, mindfulness is everywhere these days.
Yeah.
You'd think there would be more research on, you know.
Yeah, both sides. You'd think so, but it's actually really tough to study the bad stuff when it comes to something like meditation.
I guess so. It's not like a drug trial where you can easily track side effects.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people who turn to meditation, they're usually looking for help. They're hoping for positive results.
Right. They want to feel better,
Yeah,
not worse.
exactly. So,
Yeah.
yeah, there's a tendency to kind of focus on the good stuff.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did this Brown University study approach things differently?
They talked to people.
Okay.
After they'd finished an 8-week mindfulness course,
Okay.
most of them were middle-aged women, pretty typical for meditators in the US,
Yeah.
dealing with, stress, anxiety, the usual. But here's the thing. They didn't just ask general questions like, how was your experience? They got specific posts. They used prompts to really dig into any potential negative effects.
Okay, so they were really trying to get the whole picture.
Yeah, they were.
Okay, what did they find?
Okay, ready for this? 58%
58%.
of the people they interviewed said they had at least one negative side effect from meditation.
58%. That's a lot higher than I would have guessed. What kind of side effects are we talking about?
We're not talking, getting bored during meditation.
All right.
Some people reported increased anxiety, nightmares, and
Wow.
even like reliving past traumas.
Seriously.
Yeah, pretty wild, right?
That doesn't sound very mindful.
No, not at all. And then there's this thing called dysregulated arousal,
Okay.
basically feeling totally out of whack
Like
emotionally.
emotionally unstable.
Yeah, like some people felt super stimulated, anxious, others
Yeah.
felt numb and disconnected, like emotionally flat.
That is definitely not the peace and tranquility I associate with mindfulness.
Right. It's like the opposite of what you'd expect.
So it's not just that these things happened, it's about how bad they were, right?
Exactly. The study categorized the side effects based on how much they impacted people's lives,
Okay.
from just mild discomfort to like really interfering with their daily life.
So how many people had those serious life-impacting side effects?
37% said it negatively impacted their lives,
Wow.
and 6% felt those effects for over a month.
A month. That's a long time to feel worse after trying to feel better.
Yeah, it's not what you sign up for.
So how does that compare to like therapy or other mental health treatments?
It's surprisingly similar. The rates of negative side effects are pretty comparable.
So it's not that mindfulness is uniquely risky. It's more like we haven't been talking about the risks.
Yeah, exactly. The risks have been kind of hidden.
Okay,
Yeah.
interesting. So what else did they find?
One of the most surprising findings was about dissociation.
Dissociation. Isn't that supposed to be a good thing in meditation?
Well, that's what a lot of people think.
Right? Like that feeling of detachment, observing your thoughts and feelings from a distance.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
supposed to be helpful, right?
You'd think so. But the study found a strong link between dissociation and the more severe, long-lasting negative effects.
Okay, wait. That doesn't make sense. Why would simply observing your feelings lead to more problems?
That's the million-dollar question. And it really challenges some of the common advice about mindfulness.
Like just accepting whatever comes up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not always the best approach, especially if you're prone to dissociation.
So it's more complicated than just letting it all be.
Yeah, there's more nuance to it than that.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
What else did they find?
Another interesting thing was how they uncovered these negative effects. Simply asking people, did you experience any negative effects? Didn't really work. They got way more detailed responses when they used really specific questions.
Like what?
Like, did you experience any changes in your sleep, or did you have any unusual sensory experiences,
Okay.
And using that method, They uncovered 70% more adverse effects.
70% more.
Wow.
So people were having these negative experiences, but not connecting them to meditation unless specifically asked.
Yeah, it's kind of alarming.
It is. It really makes you think. So it's not that mindfulness is all bad, right?
No, not at all. Plenty of people who reported negative effects also said their depression improved.
So it's like taking aspirin. It can have side effects, but it can still be effective for pain relief.
That's a great analogy.
It's about being informed, weighing the risks and benefits.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of this study. It's not about demonizing mindfulness. Well, it's about giving people the full picture.
Both the good and the bad.
Exactly. So they can make informed choices.
So we're not saying throw away your meditation cushion.
No.
We're saying there's more to this than meets the eye.
Right.
This is already so eye-opening.
Yeah.
What else did this study reveal about the less sunny side of mindfulness?
Well, there was one finding that really got me thinking. You know,
what's that?
It seems like there might be a connection between the specific type of meditation you do and the chance of having these bad effects.
Wait, really? Like some types of meditation are riskier than others?
Yeah, this particular study didn't go too deep into that, but it definitely hinted at a connection. And there's a whole bunch of research suggesting that intensive meditation practices...
like what you'd find at a retreat.
Exactly. Those might carry a higher risk of negative side effects.
Mm.
But we can dig into that a little later.
Yeah, let's talk about retreats. Yeah, retreats. That makes sense. I mean, you're like totally immersed in meditation for days, you know?
Right. It's intense.
Yeah.
And some of those retreats, they use practices that are designed to like alter your state of consciousness.
Wow.
And that can be really powerful,
right,
but also kind of risky, especially for people who might be, you know, more sensitive.
Yeah. So it's not just the amount of time you meditate. It's also like what you're actually doing.
Exactly. The technique matters.
So these intensive retreats, they're the ones where people say they have like these amazing transformative experiences.
Right.
But they're also the riskiest.
Yeah. It's a bit of a gamble.
High risk, high reward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's super important to be careful, you know?
Yeah.
Like screening people, making sure they're prepared. Not everyone's ready for that kind of intensity.
Right. It's like anything else. You got to know what you're getting into.
Exactly.
Okay. So back to this Brown University study. Did they have any advice on how to avoid these negative effects?
Well, they didn't focus on prevention strategies specifically.
Okay.
But their findings do point to some important things.
Like what?
Well, they found that people with a history of trauma... they were more likely to experience negative effects.
Really?
Especially reliving those traumatic memories.
That's scary. Especially with all the talk about using mindfulness for trauma.
Yeah. It's definitely something to be aware of.
So if you've got trauma in your past,
you
need to be extra careful with mindfulness.
Exactly. Especially practices that involve dealing with difficult emotions.
Right.
Working with a qualified teacher, someone who understands trauma, that's crucial.
So it's not something to just try on your own?
No, definitely not.
You need guidance.
Absolutely.
Oh, what else can people do to practice mindfulness safely?
This might sound obvious, but
what?
Listen to your body. Yeah.
Listen to your mind. If something feels off.
During or after meditation.
Yeah. Don't just ignore it.
That's good advice for anything, really.
Right. We tend to ignore those little signs until they become big problems.
Exactly. So with mindfulness, it's important to remember it's not a competition.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to win a prize for being the most mindful.
No, it's about being kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Paying attention to what's happening inside.
Without judgment.
Exactly. Even when it's tough.
I like that. It's a reminder that mindfulness is about being present with whatever is happening.
Yes.
Not about escaping or denying our experiences.
Whether they're good or bad.
Exactly. And that includes being present with the possibility of negative side effects.
Right. It's not about pretending they don't exist.
It's about knowing they're there and making informed choices.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered a lot here. Mindfulness is clearly more complex than people think.
Yeah, for sure.
It has amazing potential for healing.
Uh-huh.
But there are also potential risks.
It's a journey with some unexpected twists and turns.
Exactly.
So where do we go from here? What are some key takeaways for our listeners who might be interested in trying mindfulness or who are already practicing?
One of the most important things to remember, I think, mindfulness isn't a cure-all.
Right. It's not going to solve all your problems overnight.
It takes time and patience.
And a willingness to be with yourself.
Yeah.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. And like any tool, it can be used well or poorly.
Right.
That's where a good teacher comes in.
Yeah.
Someone who can guide you and support you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yes.
Try different things.
Yeah.
Find what works for you.
It's your journey.
You get to choose how you navigate it.
Exactly.
This has been a really fascinating look at the potential downsides of mindfulness.
Yeah.
I think we've all learned a lot today.
Me too.
But before we wrap things up, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
You said that adverse effects and benefits aren't mutually exclusive. Even people who experience negative effects can still get positive results from mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of the benefits of mindfulness,
yeah,
like less stress, better emotional regulation,
uh-huh,
they come from learning to observe your thoughts and feelings without getting swept away by them.
So it's about creating some space between yourself and your experience.
Exactly. And that space allows you to respond to things.
Instead of just reacting.
Right. But sometimes creating that space can be messy.
Messy. How?
Well, when you start paying attention to what's going on inside,
uh-huh,
sometimes uncomfortable things come up. Like, you might notice anxiety you didn't realize was there.
Yeah.
Or old memories might resurface.
That could be guff.
It can. And it may be scary, but it's like shining a light into the dark corners of your mind.
And sometimes what you find isn't pretty.
Right. But by bringing it into the light,
you can start to deal with it.
Exactly. You can heal it. You can transform it.
So it's not about avoiding the darkness. It's about learning to navigate it.
With the right tools and support.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It takes courage and compassion.
And it's not something to do alone.
You need someone to help you through it.
Absolutely. A therapist, a teacher, a supportive community.
Yeah.
And remember, everyone's different.
Uh-huh.
What works for one person might not work for another.
That's important to keep in mind.
It's about finding what resonates with you.
What feels safe.
What helps you feel better.
This has been a really insightful conversation.
Yeah, it has.
Thanks for sharing your expertise with us.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a new perspective on mindfulness.
Yeah.
It's a powerful practice,
mm-hmm,
but like anything powerful, it needs to be used carefully.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in learning more,
yeah,
we've got some resources in the show notes.
Check those out. Do your own research.
Mm-hmm.
Find a qualified teacher.
Yeah.
And most importantly, listen to your own intuition.
Exactly.
As you explore mindfulness.
It's your journey.
You get to choose your own path.
Absolutely.
This has been a really eye-opening look at the potential downsides of mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really important point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often talk about the individual benefits of mindfulness.
Right.
But what about society as a whole?
Hmm. That's a fascinating question.
Yeah. I mean, if more and more people are practicing mindfulness,
mm-hmm,
could that have like a ripple effect?
Potentially.
You know, like could it make society as a whole more peaceful?
Possible.
Or more compassionate.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about.
I think so, too. And maybe there are societal risks, too.
Mm-hmm. There could be.
That's something we should definitely explore more in a future episode.
Absolutely.
But for now,
yeah,
I think we've given our listeners a lot to chew on.
I think so.
And hopefully a more balanced view of mindfulness.
Yeah. It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Right. There's more to it than that.
Definitely.
But it's still a valuable practice.
Absolutely.
As long as we approach it with awareness.
And a healthy dose of skepticism.
Exactly.
And self-compassion.
Yeah. So to our listeners out there,
mm-hmm,
keep exploring mindfulness.
Yeah.
Keep asking questions.
And most importantly,
yeah,
listen to your own inner wisdom.
That's great advice. I think it applies to everything in life.
I think so, too.
Well, this has been another fascinating deep dive.
Yeah, Hess.
Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there,
mm-hmm,
thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Until then. Stay curious, stay compassionate, and keep exploring.